In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Greetings on this blessed feast of the Nativity of the Theotokos. It is the first feast of the year since our year begins September 1st, and it's really appropriate because it's really the beginning of our salvation. The Theotokos to be born so that she would, a short time later, perhaps 15 years later or so, would be the virgin birth giver of God. So this is the beginning of our salvation in terms of the feast days. And it's interesting to me that the exaltation of the cross is only a few days later, because on September 14th, that feast was inaugurated, because that's when the cross was raised up that had been found by Empress Helena. And that, to me also, is like a beginning. The cross is the beginning of, shall we say, the end of our salvation, right? The Theotokos is born so that Christ would be born, and Christ died on the cross so that we would be reborn. There were a lot of things that happened after the birth of the Theotokos, just as lots of things happened after the death of our Lord on the cross. But they're sort of bookends, I think. I thought I would talk about the Troparion and the Kantakion. Now, you should say those. You should read those at home. All this week you could be reading this Troparion and Kantakion. It's in your prayer book. They're very easy to find. With the internet, you can find anything now except salvation and happiness. You have to find that through the Holy Spirit and through your struggle. So read the Troparion and the Kantakion, and understand that it's kind of a summary of the feast. It's not comprehensive. It can't be comprehensive. If it was comprehensive, it would be 189 pages or 189,000 pages. But it is a good summary of the feast. So the Troparion is, "Thy nativity, O Theotokos Virgin, hath proclaimed joy to all the world, for from thee hath dawned the Sun of Righteousness, Christ our God, annulling the curse and bestowing the blessing, abolishing death and granting us life everlasting." Generally, you can see in any of our Troparia, any of our hymns that mention the ministry of Christ, it's always about victory. It's annulling the curse, bestowing the blessing, abolishing death. When I was not an Orthodox Christian, I was frustrated by a theology that didn't seem to me about victory so much as about that we weren't going to be punished. But our theology, which comes from the mind of the church, from the Holy Spirit, is that our Lord Jesus Christ was born in order to destroy death for our sake, in order to annul the curse of sin and death. And the beginning of that annulling is, of course, for the Theotokos to be born so that he would be born. So every time we mention the Theotokos, we're always mentioning her in the context of her son. So even when we say, "Most Holy Theotokos, save us," words that sound very strange to Western ears and even idolatrous, we understand them completely. Because of the Mother of God, Christ was born. It was part of God's plan for a pure virgin to bear the God-man Jesus Christ. And so through her, we are saved. Not by her, through her. She's part of that process and part of that plan. And the greatness of the Theotokos is in her obedience, in her following the will of God and the law of God completely. That's why we have the reading of the Gospel, which is a composite reading, where Mary and Martha are bustling, or Martha's bustling about and Mary's listening to Christ. And the Lord says that Martha has chosen the good part. And then the reading segues to an unrelated incident later on in the Gospel, where a woman calls out that, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked." And the Lord says, "Yea, rather," meaning an idiom that says, "Yes, you're right, but there's much more to it than that. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." That's why we venerate the Theotokos so highly, because she heard the word of God and kept it. And because of that, the Lord, even in this life, upon the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ, granted to her theosis, union with God, and we venerate her for her obedience. The Kontakion says, Joachim and Anam were freed from the reproach of childlessness, and Adam and Eve from the corruption of death, by thy holy nativity, O Immaculate One, which thy people redeemed from the guilt of offenses, celebrate by crying to thee, the barren woman giveth birth to the Theotokos, the nourisher of our life. You could spend a lot of time just studying barrenness and barren women who gave birth in the Gospel and in the New Testament and the Old Testament. It's really very significant. Barrenness, of course, is to have no fruit. Barrenness is to have death. And Joachim and Anna were barren. They were old. They had not had a child. And they prayed with tears to the Lord. The Archangel Gabriel appeared to each one of them separately and told them that they would have a child. They then rejoiced and promised that this child would be dedicated to the Lord. And indeed she was in her third year. She was brought to the temple to live in the temple precincts and take care of things, just as the other virgins did, a select group of young women. And the difference between her and the other young women is that when she came to the temple, she immediately marched into the Holy of Holies, which was unheard of, except once a year by the high priest. So there, she was clearly very spiritual and holy and pure, even at the age of 3 years old. And I like how, if you look at our feast days, we speak in the future and the present and the past almost as if they're one thing. So Joachim and Anna are freed from the reproach of childlessness, yes. And Adam and Eve from the corruption of death, really? Adam and Eve were in Hades. How are they freed from the corruption of death by the birth of the Theotokos? Well, because through the birth of the Theotokos would come the birth of Christ, and all the things that our Lord did in his earthly ministry, and then his death, his resurrection, his ascension, the sending of the Holy Spirit, and Adam and Eve would be renewed and would be brought out of Hades and into paradise. But of course, on the day of her birth, that didn't happen. But the church speaks like this all the time. A lot of times we say, today. Well, it wasn't today, it was yesterday, many, many years ago, but we speak of today because we're sort of living in that moment. But after all, the kingdom of heaven is within us, isn't it? And yet, is the kingdom of heaven fully realized in us? No. So we both have the kingdom of heaven and we do not have it. But we speak of the kingdom of heaven being within us because we look forward to that blessed day when all things will be fully realized. We will know all things and be in the uncreated light of God without shame and without confusion. And we are redeemed from the guilt of our offenses because the Lord made us capable of becoming perfected. Didn't just forgive us, because what good is it to be forgiven if you aren't also cured? You don't go to the doctor and he says, oh, okay, I see you broke your leg. I forgive you for that. It wasn't really your fault. You know, you fell off a step. You know, that can happen to anybody. Well, okay, that's great that the doctor is not berating you for an accident, but you really want him to set your leg. So the Lord came and didn't just give us forgiveness, but he gave us reconciliation. He gave us new life to become new creatures. And we celebrate the beginning of that today with the Mother of God. Glory be to God. Through the prayers of the Most Holy Theotokos, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.